So Damon's drinking tonight.
Is he drinking alcohol or is it just like a swamp pop? Or a...
Yeah, it might be a swamp pop.
Maybe he's drinking ram's piss.
I don't get that.
If you watch Beer Fest, you'd get it.
Oh, I've seen that once.
Okay, then you should get it.
I don't remember it.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on a great episode of the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating is probably a 1. Had a couple of drinks at dinner and sipping on some wine for the celebratory show tonight. And I gotta say, what's better than sweeping the Falcons by beating them with a last-minute field goal in the last game of the season? Well, learning that you aren't going to lose the best coach that would have been on the market. And learning that he loves us. He really loves us. So we've got a game recap. We have some big headlines to talk about. We're going to take an early look at 2016 opponents. We got some playoff pick'ems to do. So this is a loaded show this week. Put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times. And enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to an enjoyable show. What's your number?
I'm an enjoyable 0 right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, had to drive out and back from Laplace for fantasy playoff draft, so didn't do any drinking today. I figure the Peyton news is enough to keep me uplifted for the show.
All right, so feeling high. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you, 0.
Oh, I thought you made a drink.
Not a alcoholic beverage.
Oh.
Ram's piss.
All right, oh, so we have a special guest with us, one of the founding fathers of the Dome Patrol podcast. Chad, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I appreciate it. I think I'm probably a 0.5. I'm 2 glasses of wine in and enjoying my spot on the floor here in my special guest appearance.
We make our guests sit on the floor when they come to the show. He is in the studio with me, folks. So we're going to waste no time because it feels like game recap is so long ago, but we do actually have a game to recap. So let's get into it. All right, who wants to talk about this wonderful way that we beat the Falcons?
Fuck the Falcons.
Well, I mean, it was a typical Falcons loss. Maddie shit pants, shit the bed one more time, you know. You can thank Matt Ryan for the win.
As is, of course, the tradition.
It was nice irony that the season pretty much ended on a solid defensive turnover. Ironic that it could be.
Yeah, it's what he does this year.
Atlanta's a bad team. I mean, I'm not sure that we're a good team, but we're better than they are. The game, you know, it's. I think we all wanted, obviously, some people say lose the game to get a better draft pick, and I don't know what, you know, how many spots that this win cost us, but I don't care. You have to beat Atlanta. You have to sweep Atlanta. Sean Payton and Drew Brees picked up with Quinn, right? You know where they did to Smitty.
Left off with Mike Smith, yeah.
Well, they didn't leave off. Mike Smith actually swept his last year, but they kept the tradition alive of owning the Atlanta Falcons head coaches. So that's. It really was a nice victory. I'm sorry. I mean, just beating Atlanta despite finishing 7-9. If you're a Saints fan, you have to know what that rivalry means, and you have to just love sticking it to them.
Well, what I like too is the passion that the team displayed in the game.
Yes.
And Sean Payton. I mean, you saw the way after that kick came. I haven't seen Sean Payton that excited since we beat the Vikings in the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a testament to the last few games of the season. I mean, you know, just the way that you finish when you know you're really not playing for anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you finish the last two games with solid performances all the way around, and people, whether they're playing for their jobs or playing just for pride, I mean, you know, they showed what a good veteran team is about with good leadership, and, you know, it's got a lot to build on going forward.
And I'd add to that, the young players, like Sean Payton said, you know, I don't want to spoil the press conference. I'm sure everybody knows what he said, but talking about, they brought the right guys in this offseason. You know, you went back to that character, and you look at the young guys on this team and how much they want to play for each other and how much they want to win and how much they want to do well and how much they're learning. You look at what Dennis Allen did with the defense since taking it over. Chad, you said you had some strong defense in the season with a strong defensive performance. I mean, they're getting turnovers all of a sudden. Last couple of games. Hightower.
Yeah, they don't seem to be confused all the time.
Right. Well, and the block kicks. I mean, well, at least against Atlanta. That's if I remember correctly, didn't
kind of our thing.
Yeah, Mowdy blocked the punt against Atlanta the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But no, Steve Gleason tweeted out Atlanta just don't kick. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And it reared its ugly head again this year, this game. And Atlanta hates when we block their kicks. Hates it. you know, because obviously the Gleason's big play, and it just really gets under their skin so much. And it's so much fun. I mean, any misery that an Atlanta Falcons fan goes through, I totally enjoy it. It brings a smile to my face.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice. I mean, look, I know the season's not a success, but man, when you sweep Atlanta, it takes the sting out of it a lot.
Oh, we're definitely going into this off season on a positive note, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, 1-3 out of the last four.
Right. I mean, and maybe I could just be a homer, but definitely on a positive note. I mean, I feel like we'll be right back in the mix of things.
Well, and you learned today that your coach is going to be around. I'm sure Jeff has more to say on that, but you know, your coach is going to be around. You're obviously going to keep the relationship that you have on the offensive side. You know, I'm assuming that Dennis Allen's going to get the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator. And I mean, you've seen that he, with the same players that Rob Ryan had, made a difference. You know, he obviously, whatever he installed in the system, made somewhat of a difference in going down the last six games of the season.
And don't you feel like, I mean, injuries really played a big played a part in our defensive struggles this year?
Oh, yeah. We had no secondary. I mean, playing people off of the street.
Right. I mean, how, you know, did our defensive backfield ever
play a full game together?
Right.
You know, they might have played together, but Lewis was trying to hobble around, and he wasn't 100%.
I mean, our best defensive back this year didn't play college football. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, he was the wonder story of the NFL, kind of, but he didn't play. I mean, he hadn't played major high level professional football in a long time. You know, or in a long time. So, I mean, when you got that as your best defensive player and back, you know, defensive back, you know, you're definitely probably going to have some miscues throughout the year.
I tell you what, this game was wild. Where like Atlanta,
the lead changed multiple times.
Plus, like Atlanta's driving down, they turn it over in the red zone. So you're like, yes. And then we drive down, and then we fumble in the red zone. It's like, yeah. Come on, okay. Now, something you forgot to mention is that our game day experience over at the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jeff actually came over, and we char-grilled some oysters and some shrimp.
I saw the pictures. I saw pictures.
Yep.
The game. So that was nice. I definitely just wanted to win this last game. I didn't, like Damon said, who cares about a draft pick? We ended up, I think, just losing one spot, maybe. So, I mean, you know, who cares? The win over Atlanta is much more satisfying than picking one slot better.
Right.
Well, we've still got the 12th pick in the draft, so I don't think that's really going to – I mean, I think that's going to be a good spot. I mean, you know, I don't see us really missing out much between – 9, 10, 11, and 12. Right. Yeah, I mean, so.
And I mean, considering, you know, that we finished the season with a few wins, more than likely I'm just expecting, shit, we're going to pick like 16th or 17th or.
Right, five. Right, so, exactly.
And you talk about finishing the season with a few wins. We're finishing the season. There's a good momentum going into the off season, and I go back to, it's these guys, you know, your Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks, Ben Watson, if we can keep him on the team. I think he's a free agent this year, right?
Yeah, he is.
Hightower. I want to keep him.
And that's something we didn't really talk about, his performance in last week's game. We kind of skipped over that. But, I mean, he came in and played really well in these last couple of games that we needed him to with Ingram out.
And Cadet. Cadet had 6 catches for 77 yards. He's our second leading receiver behind Coleman, of all people.
And Coleman could have had another one. He had that drop towards the end of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Drew doing what he does, spreading the ball around to a lot of guys. Snead, I think, fell just short of 1,000 yards for the season.
Mm-hmm. Cooks had 1,000.
Yeah, so there's...
surpassed it. Yeah. Even there's... Josh Hill had a catch, y'all.
Hey, all right! Jimmy who?
We were all... remember last year when we lost him, we were like, Josh Hill's going to be the greatest. He's going to be the greatest. I think he's got a like, catch all season.
Going to be fine. Sean Payton's got a boner for him. We're all good.
Whew. You know. We didn't realize he had Ben Watson in his pocket.
Yeah, thank God we had Ben Watson.
Do we have any sacks, Cam Jordan? Oh, yeah, Cam Jordan finished the season with multiple sacks, or what, double-digit sacks.
With 10, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the only sack of the game, but, you know, like he's his steady, productive self. He doesn't really have a lot of help on the other side. You know, we played a lot of rookies this year. I still think they need to get another rusher, or maybe move Kakaha. I mean,
let's get some offensive linemen.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, we definitely need that too. So let's see if we can get Kakaha back to more pass rushing. It seems like they kind of messed up.
Yeah, what happened with that? I mean, I guess he did. He kind of
after his injury.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
And then he came back, and then Allen said, "Yeah, we were trying something a little different with Kakaha, playing him in coverage." I'm like, "The kid's a pass rusher. Just let him rush the passer." What you drafted him for?
Well, I had read something about how when you talk about what some of the problems of the defense might be is one, what was it? Rob Ryan. I'm going to get this wrong, but Rob Ryan came in wanting to run, say, for example, a 3-4, yet they drafted for a 4-3. And then he tried to run a 3-4 with a bunch of 4-3 player, you know, personnel or whatnot. Then the next year, he tries to run a 4-3, but they drafted for a 3-4. So he's got just all a bunch of, like, he's, again, Rob Ryan was putting the wrong guys in the wrong position to try to do things. And now maybe with Dennis Allen, obviously he's not putting Kakaha in the right place if that changed. But maybe it's due to the injury and they don't feel like he was ready to do something like that. But I got to believe that if we can get 2 straight years of running a consistent style of defense and draft for that type of defense, we could get that Midland defense that we need. And actually make a run.
Let's hope so. I mean, look, we weren't that many plays away from, you know, a couple of close games that go our way instead of loses, and we're, you know, 9-7, 10-6. I mean, the NFL, that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And look, y'all do realize who the leading passer in the NFL was this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Washed Up that people want to trade.
And he missed a game.
Right.
He
right,
sure did.
He sure did. He'd have had mother. He'd have
had
another
5,000 yards. Yep.
He missed a game.
Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, Luke McCown threw for 300 yards against Carolina.
Right.
But you know, all right. So do you think about this? If he did not force himself to play in that Tampa game, and if he did play in that Carolina game, we might have won that one. Because that was a close game with Luke McCown.
It was a close game. Yeah, and then like, man,
you know about 9-7.
Well, then you're like, how the hell do we lose to freaking Tennessee?
Right.
You know, like that game stands out.
Tennessee, Detroit. I mean, I know Detroit was playing better at the time, but
still should have beat them.
Yeah.
You know, at home on Monday night, that's a game we usually lock up. You know, you don't even think about it.
And we lost to Tampa in the dome.
We all believe with a couple of pieces, not really that much. A better. Like y'all said, better defense. we're easily a 10-win team, and you know, in the hunt for the playoffs.
Well, and I think that's one thing that a lot of the players recognize pretty easily is that there was definitely three games that we should have won that we didn't win this year. I mean,
that puts us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh. All right. Anything left on game recap? Because we're not even really talking about the game. We're
no, exactly.
We're doing season recap.
Right. I tried to keep it game related, but.
Sorry, you got a special guest. I'm not used to the format anymore.
yeah, just Breeze another 300-yard game. You know, Ryan threw for 300 yards, and Julio got his yards. But the turnovers when they needed them, they got the two turnovers.
What I really like is that we held Roddy White to one catch, 10 yards.
Yeah.
You mean there's probably nobody in the league that I like less than Roddy White.
Absolutely, and they did not sack Breeze. Oh, that's a real quick thing. How about the offensive line, tattered and worn, actually playing well?
Yeah, because we didn't have Pete and we didn't have Armstead.
Right.
Let's just stick Kelemente in it at left tackle.
And he did good.
He did an okay job. I mean, he is, you know, they are going up against a shitty Atlanta pass rush, but, you know, look, they definitely did okay.
All right. With that, we're going to move on into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And I guess the top headline of the day is
Bobby April was fired from the Jets.
Yeah. That's NFL reach around, Damon.
Bill Kuharich was fired again.
Well, that is a huge. Let's talk about Bill Kuharich. That had to be the biggest.
You want to actually have to be our leading head?
That has to be the biggest news of the week, right? That Bill Kuharich would let go? Did something else happen?
Yeah, you want to make people wait. Go ahead. Let's talk about Bill Kuharich.
They ain't much to say about Bill Kuharich. Just he was fired and stay away from here. Thank you.
It's just amazing that he still got another job.
I'm surprised.
But isn't that amazing? Right.
He's had multiple jobs since leaving the Saints. Like, he was with Kansas City for a while.
Right, he was with Kansas City for a while, and only knew he was there
and
after they fired him. And I said, "Oh, look, that's where Kuharich went." Then he went to Cleveland.
No, he was in Cleveland until they fired him.
Then they sucked and they fired him. And oh, look, Kuharich was there.
Oh yeah.
I see a pattern.
Right. All right. So I wonder who. I really hope Atlanta picks him up.
That would be glorious.
All right, let's talk about the real headline, folks. Sean Payton is staying. The closer we got to the reality of possibly losing him, the more I didn't like it.
Well, hold on. Okay, let's start this from the beginning. You know, not just the ending today. I'll ask the three of y'all. When did this story really start taking shape? And y'all, you know.
What do you mean?
We started getting reports with, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks left in the season when it was clear that we were going to have a losing record. We weren't going to the playoffs, and then you'd see more, you know, Rappaport coming out or whatever.
Let me stop you there. The reports that I remember seeing initially, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, is some butthead, you know, from the New York Daily News saying, "Well, the Jets need to get this guy."
But
the
that
Miami
was
Herald,
that was Breeze.
That remember? Was Breeze, but it was also Payton.
The Jets just hired a coach. They're not.
Well, the Miami Herald said the same thing.
Okay.
That we need to get Sean Payton.
Okay. Miami. Yeah. We need to take a big.
But as far as his interest in leaving, you know, what I felt like it built up to in the last week. I mean, I didn't hear that he wanted to leave until like a week ago.
And that was obviously now, I would consider, manufactured by these reporters who are trying to create stories.
I agree. I think the media, yes. It takes a lot of stories just to try and shoot in the dark and run with it.
Exactly, 100%. That,
and now and now with social media, one person hears it and they add it to a blog and add it to another story, and next thing you know, 8 million people are sharing it, and it, now ESPN has to report it because it's all over the place.
I mean, it's funny how like Peyton was linked to like pretty much every single job out there.
Every job that there might be need a head coach, they want Peyton. Well, Coughlin's fired. They want Peyton.
Right. Yeah, that's it. They said Giants, Peyton's dream job.
Right. Right.
Because he was the offensive coordinator there 20 years ago or whatever.
15, right. But San Francisco.
Jerry Jones comes to New Orleans last night. Oh, he's coming to get Sean Payton.
Right.
The Colts, they signed Pagano only because talks with Peyton broke down.
Broke down, right. San Francisco to be closer to his daughter. Never mind that his fucking teenage son is here in Texas. Okay. You know?
But
he's had enough time with his son. He hasn't
seen like, San Diego. Ooh, who wouldn't want to go down to San Diego?
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
But really, I mean, that's my point. So do y'all, and this is definitely my opinion, that this was a manufactured story. Why did Peyton not come out and say anything on Monday? I have a theory, and my theory is that maybe he did want some changes within the organization, and these rumors gave him a little bit of leverage.
Okay, what changes?
I don't know. I'm just saying anything. I mean, whatever they were doing drafting players from 2010 to 2014 was apparently not working. None of us know
that in his press conference today.
Well, I also think, I think we can have a lot of theories, but I also think he didn't say anything Monday because, I mean, who wants to, I mean, just come out here and start saying something, you know, have a press conference. Like, he wants to regather everything that he's gone through the season, you know, make sure all of his points, like he did today, he answered every question. You know, he wanted to make sure he had answers for every question that was going to be asked and, you know, give yourself 2 days to breathe and not just rush right into, you know, answering these questions again.
Right.
I would add to that something, and Damon, you talked about this, about, you know, Tom Benson being in the car sales business. Like, I'm going to listen to anything and everything anybody's going to offer. And maybe he was, maybe he was quote unquote listening in to the least degree that could mean, right?
I'm sure that they're, I know today, or they said, you know, there was never any discussions with other teams. I don't really believe that. I'm sure there were some feelers here and there, and I'm sure part of his discussion on staying is, well, what are you doing with Breeze? Are you plan on keeping Breeze? Because if they weren't, then I don't know that he would stick around.
I agree with that. 100%.
And try to, you know, like now, like me, him staying means, well, we're definitely going to extend Breeze. He'll be here for another, you know, 3-4 years, whatever.
Well, and Breeze was talking on Bobby's show earlier today after the press conference, saying, this is the only coach I want to play for the rest of my career.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, think about it. I mean, in history of NFL, I mean, where do you find quarterback-coach relationship like this? I mean, very few throughout the history of the NFL, you know, with the success that they've had. I mean, you can name them.
Walsh and Montana.
Right. I mean, you can name them pretty much on one hand. I mean, Belichick and Brady, you know, really, Peyton Manning had more than, you know, several coaches that he had to develop systems with. Relationship, it's very rare, like not even him.
Right.
Like that relationship between a coach and a player, at the quarterback especially, you don't see that very often. And they have something that, you know, will eventually go down as a historical point in
there's going to be a 30 for 30 on that relationship or something. But, and that's the point that I was making when I called Bobby Sunday after the game, was you don't mess with that relationship. You don't do that. You don't bring in another guy for Breeze's last couple of years in the NFL.
No.
And you don't get rid of Breeze and bring in another quarterback.
You're going to be stuck in the QB wasteland. In the history of the NFL, teams that get fortunate enough to get a QB on the level of Breeze, you can count on one hand the teams that have made a transition to another quarterback. You know, San Francisco from Montana to Young.
Right.
The Colts from Manning to Luck, Green Bay from Favre to Rodgers, Miami still hasn't found another guy after Marino. Buffalo hasn't found a guy after Jim Kelly. I mean, it just you know, at, once Breeze is gone, our QB situation is probably going to suck for a decade.
I think I said this on the show before. Without Drew Breeze, the last 2 years, we are a 3-5 win team. It's just that simple. We don't win 7 games. We win 3 games.
Oh, so, absolutely.
You know, Breeze is still an elite top 3 quarterback. I think top two. It's him and Brady. And yeah, Russell Wilson's doing well in Seattle, but they have teams around him. In my humble opinion, Drew Brees has this frickin' team on his shoulders and winning 4 or 5 games a year. Russell Wilson couldn't win 7 games with this frickin' bad defense we've had for the last 2 years. Aaron Rodgers can't win, and we talked about this on the show. Drew Brees makes his wide receivers, and so does Tom Brady, and so does Peyton Manning. You look, I'm drawing a Jordy Nelson in Green Bay. He goes down. Rodgers can't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, their receivers can't do anything.
This is true. Right. Brees is better than Rodgers.
Oh God, right. Yes. Yeah. So that's not even close. It's not even freaking. He's not. Rodgers is in the freaking discussion. They just love stroking Rodgers because he's in Green Bay and he's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. If we didn't have Brees in it, the thing was between him and the guy in Washington. I take Rodgers, don't get me wrong, but Drew Brees is an elite. I don't know how we started talking about Sean Payton and we're talking about fucking Drew Brees, but anyway.
I know. I was about to say, can you get this back to Payton?
Yeah.
Well, they are attached at the hip.
Right, but Drew Brees is an elite quarterback. He's going to get another Super Bowl before he retires in New Orleans. But yeah, look, Sean Payton's press conference, when there's smoke, there's fire. I can't say I wasn't worried, I mean, all of a sudden, I hear all this negative news. And the way one of the things that made me mad watching all this on NFL Network and ESPN was just the way that these reporters, these leeches, these sons of bitches, they talked about like every other job out there was so much better than New Orleans. Oh, he'll be in New York. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful. San Francisco, he'll be in California. Just like he'll be in South Beach. He'll be in Miami. And like, really? I mean, this is our coach who's under contract for 2 years. Why the fuck do you think he's leaving? Because these jobs are so much greater. These organizations are so much greater.
Well, and it's something interesting that he said in the press conference. Let's go through some of the main talking points that he brought up in the press conference. One of them, he talked about ownership stability. And he said, ownership stability doesn't necessarily guarantee you wins and success. He says, but bad ownership guarantees failure. Stability, he's talking about. And so... And he said, look at the teams that lose. And I'm thinking he means consistently. Say Cleveland, Tennessee, Jacksonville. One of the common themes among those teams is bad ownership. And I think he's actually giving a nod to Tom Benson right there.
Atlanta.
Giving a nod to Tom Benson right there. And I think also at the same time, talking about maybe if there was that delay and why he was waiting, maybe if he was looking, maybe part of what he needed from the Saints was, if I'm going to stick around here, I need to know that we're stable in the ownership category. And so maybe he needed to have a conversation with Gale to say, hey, if Tom dies and you become the owner, is shit going to change? Because if so, I'm out. Or what was the conspiracy theory that, they brought in Ireland to come in and to learn the organizational structure so that he could be the GM so that Mickey Loomis could move over to just be CEO of Benson Sports. I think I saw that on Saints Report.
Right. I had heard that a couple of places also.
And Ireland and Peyton get along, see eye to eye, think the same way. So Sean Peyton would be okay with working with him as a GM.
Right. They're both on that Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
And still have Mickey Loomis as part of the organization. Brings in Dennis Allen because he knows that's who he wants to be his defensive coordinator all along.
Right. Okay. Where are you going with this?
Well, I'm just saying, like, going back to the whole waiting a couple of days.
Right.
Maybe it's because he wanted to make sure everything was aligned before he actually was considering leaving.
We can obviously say yes. Obviously, there was something he wanted to get done, And he did it, in my opinion, through a position of strength when his name was being mentioned out there with every freaking job that came available.
And if he did, I'm glad he did it because, again, another point he made in the press conference was we got to get back to that level of excellence standard, right. Raise our standards in every right. facet of the organization, not right. just in certain areas.
Right. He didn't say character in the locker room, but that's what he was talking about.
He mentioned there was a problem last year and it didn't relate to football.
Right.
I'm going to bring up the optimism that he seemed to have and the commitment that he seemed to have, almost like a rejuvenated Tate. That was
well, he did say that he was, he was in better shape than when he started. And Jason's right that, he definitely looked like a much more not grandpa shape Peyton that we saw maybe in the 2014 season.
Well, I just like that, he went back to an article, a story that was written about him earlier in the year talking about, everybody was saying he could leave now and be the hero, of the Saints, the coach that brought us, or he could stay and be a villain, eventually be run out of town. And he pretty much confirmed, his actual quote was, if I have to someday become that villain, I plan on staying here until everybody says we're burning your wagon out of town.
Right.
And I think that's, for me, that's comforting that this coach is going to be here as long as we want him to be here. And, that's when you see, Bill Belichick's, when you see coaches that Bill Walsh or Marv Levy or coaches that had full continuity for years and years, that's where success and foundations are built. And so, that's what he sees. He sees that he's been a 10-year coach in the NFL with the same team. He don't want to leave that. You don't want to start that over somewhere else.
But one of the things I definitely loved, I know we all loved it, everybody from South Louisiana and New Orleans loved, when he said, look, I drive and hit the same potholes y'all do and get angry. when certain parishes, water pressure is low, I have to come to the facility and take a shower. And he goes, and later on he said, I would find it difficult to live anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, when we go out to restaurants and other places, and they don't all bring our course at the same time, that annoys me now. Just the fact, that he, and then he went on in length talking about he's not sure when it happened, but someone had told him when he first got here that the city grows on you and that, it's special and it's unique. And he said, it has. And this is where he considers home. That's what we wanted. And y'all, if you listen to the show, you know what I rail on Drew Brees about. Nothing to do with his on-the-field accomplishments. He is a Hall of Famer. He is wonderful. But Peyton gets New Orleans. Drew Brees considers himself a fucking, citizen of the world, or something,
Look,
Peyton gets it.
I think that makes sense, Damon.
I'm not saying that Peyton doesn't get New Orleans, but, come on, you knew some of that. Some of that talk, he knew.
Oh,
Jason, you are a fucking...
I'm not saying he doesn't love New Orleans.
Just because you have a small dick doesn't mean everybody has a
dick. I am totally buying what Sean Payton said as completely 100% genuine. This guy spoke about New Orleans better than Matthew McConaughey did in his quote-unquote love letter to New Orleans that was all over Facebook last year.
Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
First of all, what a big, beautiful... mess. It is. Cheers to that. I said this a few years ago. I said, someone said, what's New Orleans like? I said, man, New Orleans is like a giant flashing yellow light. Proceed with caution. But proceed. It is not an overly ambitious place. And this I mean complimentary. It has a great identity. And therefore it doesn't look outside itself for intrigue, evolution, or labels of progress. People here are proud of their home. You're proud of your Crescent City. You know your flavor. It is your very own. And if people want to come taste it with you, you welcome them with open arms, but you do not solicit. The hours trickle by here. Tuesday and Saturday are more similar here than any other place I've ever been. The seasons slide into one another without any status quo. Yes, it is the Big Easy, home of the shortest hangover on the planet, where a libation can greet you on Monday morning with the same smile as it did on Saturday night. Okay, home of the front porch. I don't know if y'all recognize this. Home of the front porch. All right, not the back porch. Everyone else has back porches, right? The back porch is something different. The front porch is an engineering feat that lends to so much sense of community around here and fellowship. Private property and lines of demarcation all lend across borders here. You relax facing the street. You face your neighbors. You do not retreat into the seclusion and privacy of your backyard. No, you engage with the goings-on of the world that is in front of you. It's a great engineering feat you pulled off here. It really is. What's my alarm here? My alarm here is church bells, sirens, and a slow-moving $8-an-hour carpenter nailing window panes two doors down. That's a good alarm. Do not honk your horn in a traffic jam here. You do not sweat the misdemeanors. And since everybody's getting away with something anyway, the rest of us just want to be on the side of who's getting away with it. And if you can get away with it, good for you. You love to gamble. Rules are made to be broken. So do not preach about abiding. And hey, if you don't get away with it, you're probably going to let them slide anyway. Where else do the dead rest eye to eye with the living? New Orleans is a right-brain city. All right, do not come to town wearing your morals on your sleeve unless you want to get your arm burned. Yes, it's oil and vinegar, but somehow they mix. The poverty, the humidity, they both gracefully suppress all the rationale. And if you're crossing a one-way street, it is best to look both ways.
Anyway, I'm with Damon. Sean Payton came in, no script. He spoke from the heart, and I hate to use the word that the dipshit motherfucker piece of shit Ian Rappaport said.
But I thought you were talking about Jason.
No, but this was a love letter to New Orleans from Sean Payton.
Yeah.
This was, I love this city. I love this team. I love what we're doing here. I believe in what we're doing here. And you asked what I liked about the press conference, Chad. I think alongside with that, it was, if you read his book after we won the Super Bowl, Sean Payton's book, not Drew Brees's, he talked about in it how sometimes you need a crisis in order to move forward. And I do believe that last year, and again this year, it's been the kind of crisis that maybe he needed and the organization needed to go back to 2006. And if I'm reading between lines, I'm not citing anything specific that he said, but if you take the package of what he said, we're getting back to that 2006 mentality. And he talked about how in the beginning of the press conference, how, you know, at times he would think for a while that his message was getting old, and we've talked about it. Other reporters have talked about it, about how, you know, maybe the message is getting old and 10 years is a long time for a coach to be here and all that. But then what I love that he said is, but I realized the message can't get old. The only guys that were here in 2006 is like four guys. It's Drew, Zach, Jari,
and Marcus.
And Marcus Colson. He's like, none of these guys have heard the message. So I love that he's going to get back to – I love the idea that he's going to get back to that 06 mentality where, you know what, guys? We're drawing a line in the sand. You either raise your standard of excellence or you don't have a place here. Well, he said everything I needed him to hear to make me fall back.
You needed him to hear?
Yeah. He needed to hear him say it.
I needed to hear him say it. I am 100% in Sean Payton's camp.
No, and to go back to Jason brought up, and we had said it earlier in the podcast. I mean, he did seem, you know, that beating Atlanta Falcons reminded you of the beating of the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game. It looked like a revived Sean Payton. It really, really did. I am so excited going into next year. You know, with all the BS, we knew it was a terrible locker room. You know, we didn't know the extent, but we knew that, you know, Jimmy Graham was pouting because of his contract. You know, Junior Gallette was a piece of shit, which I hope we're going to talk about him in the NFL reach around.
I wouldn't even want to give him the time of day on our podcast.
You know, but this year, we are, I don't know, we're just in a better place than we were 365 days ago. We really are.
All right, last thoughts on Sean Payton's press conference. I'm sure we might bring it back up through other parts, but we do have other headlines and NFL reach rounds to get to. But let's just say, like, we can always come back and talk about this.
throughout the show.
All right, so I'm going to move us on to the next headline. The Saints' 2016 home away opponents are known. So we play what, the NFC West and the AFC
West. AFC West, yeah.
We knew that. But the flex teams, we'll call them, are
playing. We're playing Detroit at home, and we're playing the Giants in New York.
Ooh, the coachless Giants. Imagine if Sean Payton were there.
Mm.
We'd be playing against him there.
Well, we don't have to imagine that anymore.
That's right. All right. So, AFC West.
We do travel to San Diego. Now, San Diego could actually be Los Angeles. I don't know if you have that in your reach around, but they were them. All those three teams, them, the Raiders, and the Rams, all filed for relocation to Los Angeles. So I don't know how many, if they're going to get one, two teams, who's going to be left out. I don't know. The Rams owner kind of took a shit on St. Louis on the way out.
Wow. Yeah, he pretty much put them under the bus.
Yeah.
To me, what sticks out the most is Seattle finally comes to the Dome.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Okay.
If that's not a packed game, I don't care what day of the season it is.
Thank you.
That's not a packed game. We have problems.
Right. That game, we have to be in the Dome, loud as hell, and extract some revenge on these sons of bitches.
I just hope fans remember why that's important.
I believe they will. You know, the Broncos are coming to the Dome, but I do not feel that Peyton Manning will be with them. That's my personal feeling.
I agree.
So that's kind of... Last time Peyton was in the Dome was 2003.
And didn't we smash him?
No, yeah, that was the Colts.
Or he smashed us.
Yeah, right. They destroyed us.
Right. They kicked our ass.
Yeah. No. We beat them since then with Breeze on a Monday night.
But
it was a Peyton less.
Right. That was the year Peyton was hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah, we beat him 63-7?
Right, but Peyton was hurt then.
Oh,
right.
that's the game that Jason David was supposed to go. Best cornerback in the history of the NFL, and he was exposed for seven touchdowns.
Well, if you remember, that first game, right, he stripped the receiver and ran it back for a touchdown, right?
Yes.
And we're like, man, Jason David's awesome.
And it was all downhill.
And then he played his old team.
All right. So probably more on that whenever we get the actual schedule and dates later in the spring. Next headline is the Saints. We've kind of referenced this one. We get number 12 pick in the 2016 draft. We probably covered your thoughts on that. Maybe we don't need to go any deeper.
Let's just hit on them. There'll be plenty of time for
Did anybody have a favorite player?
I don't have a favorite player. I don't know what would fall to us at 12. I have a favorite position. I'd like to see some offensive linemen.
I'd like to see defensive linemen. I know a lot of people, especially on Twitter, were like, Treadwell, the receiver from Ole Miss, but he's not last until 12.
Yeah.
Well, and nowadays you can get a big receiver in many different times in the draft. I mean, you've seen that's not a position that – I mean, yes, you have a number one, number two guy that can't miss, but past that, you know, the receivers are
– I mean, I agree with what you said, Jason. I don't see Treadwell falling to 12. But God, I'd love to have him. You know, I'd like at least for one season to watch Drew Brees play with a true number one dominant freaking wide receiver.
Right, yeah, well, see, that, I think
maybe
from
he could
that
throw it to Calvin Johnson.
Now that you're stretching out overpaying in free agency for stuff.
And he's old, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with getting interior defense or offense lineman. I mean, that's a position that you have to be solid for 10 years, and if you can get the right guy in that position, you know,
it's a very safe pick.
Well, but we haven't had a lot of
success.
Good, safe, success when those, so we need to get a good spot, a good person in there. I mean, if you can,
you can solidify somebody on the right side of the line with Armstead on the left, or if you can get somebody to complement Cam Jordan, you know, where you get people coming on both sides. I mean, you're going to help your defensive backs out. You know, everybody's going to get better because your receivers are going to be better, whoever they are. If Breece has more time to get him the ball.
Yeah, getting another linebacker to pair with Anthony.
We have lots of needs that we can definitely fill.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things you take the best player available because
right. I really think so.
Well, Chad, something you and I talked about at dinner tonight was not just that. I mean, we talk. All right. So let's bring back Peyton's press conference about the idea of that he was asked the question of overpaying free agents or going for trying to rebuild your team through free agency. And he acknowledged that the reason we had to do what we did over the last couple of years was because we did miss on the draft. And that the fact that we had a good draft class last year and we're going to go in thinking we're going to have a good draft class this year, that he doesn't anticipate that we're going to make these free agent mistakes that we've made. But, Chad, you and I were talking about, let's get back to finding that, you know, the Patriots model, finding your undrafted free agents and your guys that come in for the minimum, league minimum.
Right, but you can't rely on strictly on undrafted free agents. I mean, there's a reason they go undrafted. Yeah, you can find some here and there.
Half of the best Saints of the last fucking decade were undrafted.
But you still need to – yeah, but also a lot of them – I mean, the foundation of our run was the 06 draft when you find guys in fourth, fifth, sixth round. You still had to draft them. And you didn't have to pay them a lot. It's not like they were first or second round picks.
Right.
So,
but look at Willie Snead again. I mean, if there's one thing that – somehow Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, regardless of how shitty our scouting team was for the last few years, we still do find these diamonds in the rough.
We do, and let's continue to do that, but we also have to hit on all the draft picks.
That's why I think you go interior lineman. You know, in the first round, that's one of those picks that can be a good cornerstone for a
right.
Parcells said a long time ago, if you get a good lineman, that's a decade of safety.
Right. Look, I mean, the last time the Saints picked at number 12, you know, that they had the 12th pick was 1980, and they selected Stan Brock.
We went into the archives for that one, damn it.
Yeah. You know. So Stan Brock, I mean,
that was the year I was born. I wouldn't have remembered that.
Right.
I remember Stan Brock, though.
I do remember Stan Brock.
Of course I remember Stan Brock.
Which means that was a decade of security, of safety.
Yep. More. He was like 14 years.
Yeah, he played. I could look it up, I'm sure. I just wish there was a device.
Longer than Streif.
Yeah, you know, don't.
Okay, so it's quick headlines. Doc Streif said he wants to retire a Saint.
Well, okay. Goodbye, Zach. I hope you enjoy retirement.
Right, no, like, with that announcement coming tomorrow, I hope. I mean, look, hey, Zach, I want to thank Zach Streif. I think he gave us some good service.
Yeah. You have to think, he's probably got to feel like the luckiest guy in the world to be able to have been on a team for 10 years. I mean, he's good, but he's not.
But his mediocre talent.
He couldn't have never imagined coming out of Northwestern that he would be on the same team for 10 years. And I couldn't have imagined it either.
Right, and being a Super Bowl, you know, have a Super Bowl ring.
But, I mean, a guy like him is usually a journeyman, you know, picks up with four or five teams throughout the year, you know, throughout his life career, and, you know, makes good role position plays, but not on the same team. So, but he's done it.
Well, and good for that, and I love that he's loyal to New Orleans. Just, I mean, it goes back to the whole thing that, again, that sentimentality that Sean Payton is saying that we are regaining this year is this loyalty and this belief in what we're doing and belief in what we're building. I think that's going to go far, man. I'm saying it, NFC South champions next year.
We'll see. I don't think Carolina's going anywhere.
That's what I thought.
Carolina's that freaking good anyway. I mean, we gave them, like I said, if y'all remember, I mean, we could have beaten the first game in Carolina, but we had our backup in. And we gave them the freaking game.
Injuries. Cam Newton get injured in week 2 next year.
Oh, Cam Newton. Fuck Cam Newton.
right, fuck you, buddy.
You know what's crazy? He's probably going to be the MVP this year. That means he's going to have a fucking MVP.
Oh, and then Drew won't. Right. Well, they're the whole because that makes their league look, you know.
I don't give a fuck about that award. All right, let's move on to look at him tweets.
Wait, hold on. I do have one last kind of mini headline. With the way this season has ended, now the Saints are eligible for Hard Knocks.
Oh, it did.
Oh yeah,
because somebody brought that up in the press conference today.
Right.
Why is that? How did they become eligible for that?
Because they were elude. They didn't make the playoffs
for the
second straight year, and they don't have a new coach.
Yeah. And now, there's only like seven.
Yeah, there's like seven. Teams. Only seven teams that qualify. So you would think
six now that Tampa Bay did what they did.
The NFL could stick it to us. But then I was also thinking, well, you're going to have one, possibly two new teams in Los Angeles, and both those teams are eligible. So to me, it would be hard for the NFL to pass up the chance to showcase one of the relocated teams.
Right.
Well, I hope they do, because I have a conspiracy theory that they're going to stick it to us.
On Hard Knocks?
Just to stick it to us.
It wouldn't shock me.
Well, Sean Payton did say in his press conference, I thought it was good, he goes, I said when I became a head coach that I will never film myself letting a player go. I just thought that was
But he also did say, but I'll put a smile on my face if that's what I have to do, or something to that extent.
I didn't think you were talking about that comment, but maybe you're right.
Okay. All right, let's move on to look at them tweets. All right, so a couple of tweets to run through here. Some of them comments, some of them questions. You can reply to some of them. You can just say move on to the next one. But here's one that came from Tyler Dyer at Life of Ty. Hope to hear a rant. I'm assuming he's talking to you, Damon. Hope to hear a rant regarding Junior's recent Snapchat meltdown and how he thinks Cousins will be better than Breeze.
Junior Gallette is the biggest waste of space on this earth. And you talk about Zach Street feels lucky to be in the team for 10 years. Junior Gallette should come to New Orleans once a month and blow Mickey Loomis, okay? For giving him that fucking contract. Look, the nice thing about that tweet and Junior Gallette is that he'll be broke and cutting my grass in 3 or 4 years. You know, that is the exciting part. That's the part I'm looking forward to. We've all seen the 30 for 30 broke program, totally built for Junior Gallette, the dummy.
You big dummy.
Yeah, he came out and said, all right, that Kirk Cousins going to be better than Drew Brees. And then he went on I couldn't even understand his retardedness. He said, the Saints are sitting at home like me.
Like me.
And I'm in the playoffs. You know, you know, you did nothing to get Washington. You literally did nothing.
Did he get hurt?
Yes. He's been on IR all year before the season started.
Yeah, ruptures his Achilles.
His contribution to the Washington Redskins and mine are the exact same. Okay?
The best thing is, wait, dude, you've been gone for so long. We've forgotten about you, but apparently you can't forget about us. The fact that you got to tweet us.
All right.
And say all this shit and antagonize a team that nobody's fucking even talking about you.
Well, the good thing under wherever I read it at, whatever website, it wasn't on Twitter or Instagram, whatever he uses.
Yeah, Snapchat.
Yeah, definitely use that. All the people underneath, you know, were definitely giving him the business, saying this is why New Orleans got rid of him and took the hit. He's a scumbag. No one watching him. Locker room cancer. He won't be with the team, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you're Washington, of course, you sign him for another one-year deal, I believe, because it's a high-reward, low-risk situation for them, even though I believe he, you know, even if he acts up with them.
I hope destroy that locker room.
Well, again, if he does that, they can cut him, and it won't cost him anything.
Right. All right, next tweet, because we got a few of them to get to. Anybody else got or last chance to say anything about Junior Gallette?
Well, another thing he said was, oh, man, Mickey, oh, man, it's a shame. You got to cut me another $5 million check next month. Asshole.
Well, that's not Mickey's money. That's Mr. Benson.
Right,
that's Mr. Benson's money. And Mr. Benson might send someone after him, you know. You might wake up dead one day if you keep pissing off the old man.
Yeah, but Benson probably doesn't even know what Twitter is, so. All right. Next tweet comes from Swamp Pop at Drink Swamp Pop. Did we just hear Jeff on the Porn After Show? Hashtag call me, tell me. Also, Patrick, Mr. Sazapo, pretty sure I just heard Jeff on the Point After Show, last call they accepted. So to answer the rumors, yes, it's true. I was a guest on Bobby and Deke, the Point After, and the point I made was that you don't interfere with the relationship between Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I pressed the point, Damon, that you've made – one of the Dome Patrol podcasts points that maybe Bill Johnson and Joe Vitt need to be removed from their positions before we even entertain Sean Payton. Now, if Sean Payton and Bobby didn't disagree, and he even went on to say at the end of the show, like if Sean Payton is not willing to do those types of things, then maybe we do have a Sean Payton problem. So, you know, we're all excited and we're celebrating that he's staying here. But if he keeps Bill Johnson as the defensive line coach, I'm going to be a little upset about that.
And if he keeps Greg McMahon as special teams coach.
Well, I don't know. Greg McMahon special teams did good this year.
What?
They blocked several kicks.
The return game still left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, notice I stopped after that.
Well, and coverages were, you know, yeah. But that could also, I don't know, maybe with better talent. I don't know. But...
Well, if we'd have kept Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All
right. So next tweet coming in comes from Neil today during the press conference, just like totally went after Ian Rappaport.
Well, I mean, several. Really should.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, Neil, I'm surprised. Neil just like every time Ian would tweet something about Sean Payton staying with the Saints, Neil got on his ass. Because Ian Rappaport tweeted something about after days of deliberation, Sean Payton decides he's going to stay with the Saints or whatever. And then Neil tweets at him, after days of deliberation and days of your made up lies. And then also retweeted or tweeted at Ian, does your surname come from the ancient translation of, quote, hasn't got a proper job, so makes it up? And then he continues, Neil was relentless, ass covering after your made up rubbish. So good for you, Neil. Oh, wait, no. And then there was another one. If I make up shit and claim to be an NFL insider, will I get a job like Crapsheet? Crapsheet, he calls him. So good on you, Neil. All right, so here comes one from Ben Wright, at Ben Wright 95. In Peyton's press conference, it seemed like he hinted of backroom staff changes, or am I getting my hopes up?
Well, we're definitely getting our hopes up. Let's see if he can go through with what needs to be done.
What's a backroom staff change?
Just his
– we're talking about the scout team or
– it's not a backroom casting couch.
Right. You know, if there are changes, I don't – I mean, do y'all expect them from a on the coaching side? Because I'm sorry, I don't.
I mean, look, they made a lot of the changes to the scouting staff last year, so I don't foresee any more of that. But I mean, I don't know. It's something, you know, clearly something wasn't working. I find it hard to believe. Like, if Peyton's really true and sincere about really fixing what the problem is. And he mentioned Parcells. You know, we mentioned something like Parcells' first response would be, all right, well, how do you fix it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there are issues with the assistant coaches. There just are.
And yes.
You know, guys leave and they're able to put up great stats. Why couldn't they do that here? So it just seems like there's got to be something.
Well, it did also sound like he pretty much alluded to the fact that Dennis Allen is the defensive coordinator if Dennis Allen wants to be the defensive coordinator. That was another thing. He was asked about Dennis Allen, and he pretty much gave us the nod, a wink and a nod on that one. All right, I'm going to finish with looking at him tweets because we've been recording for over an hour here, and we still got NFL Reach Around and playoff pick-ems to go through. So let's run to NFL Reach Around.
Thank you.
got a few of these to do too. I mean, this is busy, busy week. Let's go really fast through the coaching carousel. We know Indy stuck with Pagano after apparently talks with Sean Payton broke down. Cincinnati, or why did I stick with Cincinnati?
Cleveland.
Cleveland, I mean.
Cleveland fired a bunch of people.
Cleveland cleaned house.
Johnny Manziel's out partying in Vegas.
What a moron!
And he puts on a blonde wig and a fake mustache. He calls himself Billy.
Good. He's gonna go down as a fucking joke. All right. San Francisco's got a vacancy. Giants vacancy. Tennessee vacancy. Cleveland vacancy. Am I missing a team? Oh, and as we're recording, we hear that Tampa Bay fired Lovie Smith.
That's a little surprising.
With
the rookie quarterback, he'll at least get a...
You give him some more time.
Yeah, give him a little leash, yeah.
Maybe he lost at school.
Surprising because they really didn't have a bad season with, you know, a rookie quarterback and, you know, second-year wide receiver and a running back coming off of an injury. I mean, they kind of put a few things together and you know, played well in a tough division and, you know, not much going from previous year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did kind of stumble a little at the end because they were, and I mean, before we played them, they were 6-6, 7-7, something.
They had a surgence in the middle of the season.
I think they got up to 6-6 and then played us, and I don't know that they won another game the rest
of
the
season. Well, that's what we do after we beat teams. They don't win after we beat them. I mean, look at Atlanta. So, all right. Anyway, I mean, I don't know of any big name coaches that are serious contenders for anything. I think you're probably going to have a bunch of like offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators.
I mean, I know Chip Kelly was reaching out to the San Francisco folks.
Tennessee
because of Mariota. Hey man, what if Mike Smith could come down and coach Tampa? We can get Mike Smith back.
That would be awesome.
That would be great. We need Mike Smith back in the NFC.
Or to lobby for that.
That way, at the worst, we'd probably go every year. We go 5-1 in the NFC South. We sweep Quinn. We sweep Smith. We split with Carolina. Fucking, we got 5 wins right there.
All right. Next NFL reach around. We talked a little earlier tonight. Calvin Johnson says he's considering his future. Do y'all think he's retiring, or you think he's just looking to move to another team?
Well, he probably sees the writing on the wall that his cap numbers shoot up. I mean, he's making an absurd amount of money, and I can't imagine Detroit is gonna keep him at that level. I don't think he's gonna retire.
Right, and I don't imagine him wanting to give them a hometown discount. I think he would like to go somewhere
where he can win.
Right, make a playoff, and
would you want him here if you could afford him?
Well, sure.
I don't think Jason would.
I wouldn't pay him a lot at all. I mean, what is he, 31, 32 now?
How old's Colston?
About the same. Been in the league for a decade. I mean, maybe Calvin Johnson was drafted in 07.
Calvin Johnson was drafted in 07. Colston was
07. Okay, yeah, so 1 year younger than Colston. I mean, you know, sorry, but I got a feeling he's going to cost a little too much for that, you know? That's the kind of guy that'll end up in, like, fucking New England or some shit.
Playing for league minimum just so he can win.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's it.
Well, then do it here.
Oh, if he wants to play for league minimum, sure, I am all for it.
All right.
Or, you know, just not a lot of money, but.
All right. And then the other NFL reach around then was something you referenced again earlier was St. Louis, San Diego, Oakland all filing for relocation to L.A.
Do you think they're going to do two teams?
Yes.
I don't.
I'm pretty sure the teams have to pay for the stadium, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to take two teams to, like the Jets and Giants did out in...
They aren't going to have any taxpayer money?
You know, well, they'll have a little bit, but you know, people have really gotten away from giving these billionaires all this money. You know, that was big in the 90s, you know, just give these...
I mean, it's still kind of done. I mean, the Miami Marlins owner just fleeced Miami into building a brand new stadium.
Right.
I do know that the owner of the Rams, Kroenke, he wants to get the fuck out of St. Louis. He wants LA desperately.
Now you said he shit on earlier. You mentioned that he shit on St. Louis. What happened?
Well, he made some comments about, you know, the stadium is, you know, terrible.
He said that any NFL team that would want to go to St. Louis would basically fail, and it would be a harm to the league.
Wow.
Much as exact words.
I love it. Mm. All right. Well, I mean, I don't really care who goes to LA as long as it's not us.
I definitely think the Rams will be back. Between Oakland and San Diego, obviously, I think I'm not sure. Both teams have long histories in their current cities.
I'd actually like to see San Diego stay in San Diego, to be honest.
Yeah, because right. It would be weird to have them not be in.
All right. Let's move into pick'ems. Playoff pick'ems. It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
Well, before we get into playoff pick'ems, we'll do a recap of week 17. We had one push, Indy and Tennessee. Indy was favored by 6 and won by 6. So that won't be factored into the total here. But the three of us, we all went 2-2 last week.
Oh, good. We can't get any separation.
No, and Damon is still in first place out of the three of us, 46-36. I'm one game behind him, 45-37, and Jeff's another two games back, 43-39.
All right, and in the larger version, Hungry Hoodat did not submit picks, so everybody gained on him. He's got 47 wins. So Damon,
it's all about winning percentage, not winning total.
Well, I'm whatever.
Okay,
I'm going by number of wins, like we decided in week one.
Did we? Yeah. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we changed the rules.
I don't think we did.
It was
just you needed at least a minimum.
Yes, you did. Okay. Anyway. Hungry Hoodat's got 47 wins. Damon, you're at 46, so you're only one game back on that one. So Hungry Hoodat, Damon 46, Jason 45, Alex Barbie 44, me 43, Dad to Twins and Wheels 42, Neil 41,
Glenn. All right, got the 40s.
Yeah, Neil's getting in there. Glenn's got 35. Mr. Zazapo, you were late, but you did get two picks in. Unfortunately, both of them were losses, so... You remain at 27. Sorry, but you probably have solidified the last place. I don't know if there's enough games to catch up, but anyway, Jason, what's our games for this weekend?
All right, so we got the wild card round. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday. One interesting thing about these games is that they're in all of these games, the home team is catching points. You got home dogs in every single game this week. Mm-hmm.
Even Washington,
yeah. All right, so our first game is on Saturday. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans. Kansas City, winners of 10 in a row, just on this amazing run. At Houston, the AFC South division winner. This game's in Houston, and Houston is getting 3 points. So it looks like Brian Hoyer's back after his bout with concussions. Houston was on Hard Knocks this year. Normally the Hard Knocks teams don't make it, but pretty interesting, because Houston was kind of out of it early in the season, struggling a little bit, but they've come on as of late, although it did help playing in that
I'm taking Houston. They're home, defense wins championships, and they're catching 3 points.
Jeff, you've convinced me. I will take Houston also.
In Houston's favor, that Andy Reid is on the other sideline, and he usually makes some boneheaded decision in the playoffs.
Sounds like
and they've won too many in a row. Jason, I think you should pick Kansas City.
Man, I'm leaning.
Do it.
Do it.
I don't know. It's...
Kansas City. Do Kansas
it.
City.
Do it.
Kansas City.
Hey.
All right.
I don't trust Brian Hoyer.
There you go.
I'm gonna go with Jason. I'm gonna pick on the playoffs. So hopefully I can submit some picks each week for the playoffs.
Well,
so I won't. I won't win first place, but maybe playoff first place.
There you go.
Took
a little side pocket.
All right, next game.
Next game, Saturday night, a division matchup. So this will be the third time these teams play this year. They split the regular season series. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Pittsburgh sneaking in after the Jets lose to the Bills this past week. Cincinnati coming in. It looks like Andy Dalton, even though he got his cast off, will likely still not play this week. So you're going to get AJ McCarron. Everybody seems to be high on Pittsburgh. Their receivers are pretty dangerous, even though their defense is mediocre. And D'Angelo Williams got injured last week, so his status is up in the air. This game is in Cincinnati, and the Bengals are getting 3. I'll go
Pittsburgh first.
All right. I am going to go with Cincinnati.
Oh, some separation. Well, no, I guess not. I could win one. You could win one.
Yeah.
Wind up kissing our sister.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well.
Cincinnati has not won a playoff game with these morons.
I'm going to go with Damon, and I'm going to say Pittsburgh. I think
experience.
I think the quarterback experience is going to be the key difference.
And
could I change mine?
Yeah, if you want.
All right, Pittsburgh.
All right. True separation. All right, our next game, the Sunday afternoon game. The Seattle Seahawks, the most dangerous team in the NFL right now. Offense is on a roll, scoring 32 touchdowns in their last 8 games. At the NFC North champion Minnesota Vikings, coming off a win against Green Bay last week to clinch the division. The big story here is going to be the temperature. Is it the current forecast is for, with wind chill, minus 30.
All right, so then that doesn't give either team an advantage.
And, well, here's the advantage. Minnesota is getting 5.
Ooh.
I mean, the real question here is if Seattle stops Adrian Peterson, can Teddy Bridgewater throw in the cold? Not known for having the strongest arm. But a couple of good defenses here.
Man, Green Bay almost got out good on losing last week.
Yeah. Couple of good running backs. Marshawn Lynch is back for Seattle.
I can't pass up Seattle. I mean, they just did too much over the last 2 years, and I think they're too good, home and away. I think they're too good, so I think they go on the road and win by 5 or more.
Is Marshawn Lynch playing this time?
Yes, Marshawn Lynch is playing
at home. They're getting. I gotta go with Minnesota on this one. I mean, I think Seattle wins the game. I just don't think they win by 5.
I think it's a sucker bet.
You know, I'm gonna go ahead and take Seattle, and if they lose, I'll just be happy because they lost.
All right, I'll take Seattle too. I mean, it goes back to the same thing I just said about Pittsburgh. I mean, who has more playoff experience between these two teams, Seattle or Minnesota? Obviously, the team that went to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. So I'm gonna take Seattle. I don't think either team is great at playing in the outdoors. You know, these Minnesota players.
Right, I'm thinking minus 30 degrees neutralizes that.
Right. I mean, these Minnesota players, they used to play in the Metrodome. You know, they're just doing this 1 year while they build their new stadium. So I'm just going to go with the
we'll see.
The veteran leadership.
All right, and now our final game, Sunday evening, the Green Bay Packers at the Washington Redskins. Green Bay really limped to the finish line after starting 6-0. Yeah, went 4-6 the rest of the way. Receivers just can't get open. The offensive line's kind of a mess. At Washington, who wins the NFC East on a 4-game winning streak, despite the fact that they didn't beat any team with a winning record all season. So this game is in FedEx Field, which is known to have a shitty playing surface, and Washington's getting a point.
I'll go first. I'm taking Green Bay. Fuck you, Junior Gillette.
I'm going to go with Washington. I know Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, Jason, you and I have
opposite of every pick. Yeah.
Well, I'm taking Washington, and I'll tell you why. Because and this might be a stupid reason. Because out of the 4 games when I originally picked them all, I took all the away teams. I just don't see it happening. So I'm going to take Washington. Just because Green Bay looked like crap. Washington's at home. They played good at home. You're right. They haven't beat anyone with a winning record. But they've won 7 games at home or 6. Nine would have been at home, I think.
It's
7.
That's because they have a shitty field that they're used to and nobody else is.
Well, whatever it is, they're home.
Yeah.
I know.
It's starting to make me wish I would have picked them at this point.
All right, well, everybody said last week Aaron Rodgers at home proved to be the quarterback with experience and win, and he didn't do that. So I'm gonna go with Washington as well.
Wow, everybody's taking Washington over Green Bay in a playoff game, except me.
Yeah. All right. Kirk Cousins is playing hot.
Well, he's better than Drew Brees. So there's that. Okay, I'm going to forego everything else. I'm going to forego final thoughts because we've got a very long show. And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Peyton Coaching Splash Report donkeys.
Bye-bye. Thanks for having me.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Little bitty boy with a heart of steel. He won't do it now, but a synth sure will. Feel good music at the toe. Well, it's good for your body, Lord, and it's good for your soul. Let me say, little